The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. And you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, Mick Norton and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Beverley, Sandown and Yarmouth on Wednesday afternoon. And there's a twilight card at Kelso, a bit of jumping to finish off the day as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is William Hill Radio's Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Hello, mate. I'm good.
Good.
I'm good form.
Glad to hear it, yes. We had quite a big weekend of racing.
Hectic.
Yes. And the good news is that apparently it didn't affect turnover in the ledger. We got two great cards on a Saturday, running back-to-back rather than simultaneously. Obviously, the first four races at Doncaster were pretty special, finishing with a ledger there. And then the stuff in Ireland started, €2 million on offer on Irish Champions Day. And the fact that it worked together, great success, really.
Yeah. The difference between that particular day and the other one, which has been highlighted as perhaps a little bit too congested, was the July Cup, Magnet Cup or John Smith's Cup. I think the fact that those races that day were so close together.
Yeah.
I think there was about a 10-15 minute period, wasn't it, between each race, plus all that other stuff that was going on as well. It was a really busy day. I think there was four or five, maybe six domestic meetings that day.
Yeah.
And everyone wanted a slice of the pie, didn't they? Whereas the way it was elongated out on the Saturday worked really well. Obviously, the St. Ledger is up to 3-year-olds and the Irish version is open to older horses as well, so you had a different kind of horse running in each race. There was 2.5-3 hours in between the races as well, so it gives everyone a chance to watch the final classic, digest it, enjoy it, and then you've got a little bit of breathing space for the next race. That's how it should be done. If you're going to run two big races on the same day, at least have 2-3 hours in between. So the one gets its full appraisal and all the sort of coverage it deserves, and vice versa with the other one.
I think you nailed it there in saying enjoy it, because you did get a chance to enjoy both of them. You could sit and you could study the ledger, watch the race, digest it afterwards, and then you've got plenty of time to get yourself set up for the champions, well, Irish Champions Day.
Well, it feels right, doesn't it? You've got a classic at the end of the season. Everyone wants to see all the post-race interviews.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to see the presentation. You want to watch the replay a few times. You got a feeling then of, oh yeah, I remember that. It comes a memorable event, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you've got the July Cup, you can't remember what happened, can you? It just happens in a blink of an eye, and then Channel 4 goes straight over to another race, and that's it. Gone. Mm-hmm. It's almost treated like it's just a betting shop race, like you're watching a virtual race. Right, the next race, next race, next race, next race. And it doesn't sit right with me, that.
Okay. Well, thankfully that worked. Nice success on Saturday. Next Saturday, we have the William Hill Air Gold Cup. And just a few stories in the news today. A few from David O'Meara, who's warned that the market leader at the moment, the 10-1 favourite for the race, Watchable, might not go to the race. Outdo also to be decided this week whether he'll go to the race. But Louis the Pious probably will go to the race. So that's the news from the David O'Meara stable. Jim Goldie's also said that Jack Dexter is in the lineup, could do with a bit of rain, but Hawkeye the New would be suited by good to firm, so he's got kind of both bases covered. Interesting quote as well. He says he seems well handicapped, only a couple of pounds lower than when he won the Stewards Cup though, 2 years ago, and he's not exactly chucked in. So interesting comments there. What do you make of the race?
I've got an overly strong view on the Air Gold Cup, of course, until we've seen the draw, more importantly how the weather conditions pan out throughout the rest of the week. So it's a race I usually look at on a Saturday, but looking ahead, I think Watchable is a dangerous floater in this race if he does run. I thought he was hugely impressive on Sunday when he beat a good fill. I actually fancied the second or Zulte, who's been a cliff horse for me this season. He narrowly failed again for David Marnane. But I thought Watchable was really showed a good lot of speed throughout that race. Stiff 6 furlongs obviously played into his strengths. He travelled well. He travelled like a very well handicapped horse, didn't he?
Yeah.
The fact that he was on the bridle all the way through that race, pretty much to the last 50 yards, suggested he's capable of going at whatever speed they run at in these big cavalry charges. and he'll be a horse that a lot of punters will be concentrating on, because obviously it's an early closing race and he's particularly well handicapped. If the handicapper to reassess, he'd probably get a few pound more. Outdo wasn't so good the other day at York after winning the Great Seat Wilfred. Perhaps the handicapper might have just slammed the door in his face. Louis the Pie is probably better over seven, although he is capable of running well over six, as his Ascot victory indicates. And out of the two of Jim Goldie's horses, I'm not sure the conditions are going to be right for Jack Dexter, but Hawkeye the New would be one that you'd be looking at as potentially well handicapped. Now he's coming back to form last time out. I think he was really unlucky last time out.
Yeah.
He didn't get the best of runs through, and I noticed him finishing off very strongly when he was six. I can't remember, it might have been Ascot. I haven't got the form in front of me, but you know, he's capable of running well. If you gave me a bet here now without the draw and without the conditions, I'd have to go with Album Star, who's been a model of consistency in all these big handicaps. He started off by running well at the Curragh, behind Discussion to Follow. Line of Reason, I beg your pardon, Discussion to Follow, of course, was in that race. Runner-up in the Stewards' Cup last time out beyond Intrinsic. He's dined at the very top table all year, Album Star.
Yeah.
And he should have won one of these. He's just been a bit unlucky. Richard Fahey in the Air Gold Cup, his record's absolutely fantastic. So 14-1. If you gave me, like I say, five an hour, I'd have, you know, 250 each way on him.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Obviously, we'll learn a little bit more on Thursday when the draw comes out. And at the moment, watchable, the 10-1 market leader. It's 14s for Alban Star, Mass Rally and Ninjago. 16s for a whole host of them in behind there. And, well, the list is endless at the moment. So
it is, literally.
Yeah, come back to that on Thursday, perhaps. Just a couple of news stories to touch on before we move on to Wednesday's racing. We'll start with Estimate. She returned to winning ways at the weekend in the Doncaster Cup, and her final race will be probably the Long Distance Cup rather than going to the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, I think it's a good decision. Obviously, that race is at Ascot, a place where she's run well before, of course, we know, winner of the Gold Cup, and if my memory serves me correct, I think she might have run in the race last year off the top of my head. But yeah, that would seem the ideal route for her. You know, the Melbourne Cup might be a bridge too far. I think you need for Melbourne Cup horse, you need to have that as your main target, don't you?
Yeah.
It's not like an afterthought.
Connections
have to map that out, right? They have to, you know, go down the normal Melbourne Cup stroke Australia routes, perhaps run them in one of the trials, keep them over there for quite a while. Whether she's got that kind of substance to do that, I'd have my doubts. So yeah. I think that's a good and fair decision for the horse.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And also, very rightly so, the comment is that she's a grinder and all about stamina, whereas the Melbourne Cup is not that kind of race, which is true.
Absolutely.
She wouldn't necessarily be suited by the race.
And it's a race that Sir Michael doesn't really know that much about, does it, really? I think, yeah. When you're looking for the, you know, the sort of like the British and Irish horses going over there, a lot of the trainers who send their horses over there have had previous, like Dermot Weld, Luca Kamani,
that
they've had runners in the Southern Hemisphere before. So, you know, Sir Michael, at the moment, it's not a race that's high on his list of priorities.
Yeah, and one more story to talk about. Linkfield's Good Friday card, the £1 million Good Friday card. Controversial when it first started, but I think everyone agreed that the first meeting was quite a success, and now Channel 4 have agreed to give coverage to it as well. So if the meeting is going to develop, that's the right way forward, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. I really enjoyed last year's Linkfield, you know, championships actually on the day, but the build-up to it was good as well. It was about continuity, wasn't it? It's like, you know, watching Dundalk week in, week out. You get to know the horse, you get to know the run styles. A lot of horses run against each other, and then they're all primed to run in that big finale on that Saturday, which was a great success. Great crowd. Luckily, they got a lovely day's weather.
Yep.
You know, they broke all attendance records at Lingfield, so it was a good atmosphere there. And the racing on the day was spectacular, and the horses that turned up as well have been, you know, doing well all the way through the season. I mean, you had a horse of Willie Haggis's actually running the 2,000 guineas. He didn't run well in it, but, they've gone on to running Group 1 races. So you put the prize money on, you get the right kind of horses, you'll get the turnout it deserves. And, you know, they put £1 million up for it this year. I think it'll probably go from strength to strength. I think a lot of trainers have just dipped their toe in the water and thought, oh, we fancy a piece of this.
Mm.
And I think you will get even more quality runners running on the all-weather. It's definitely going the right way. And, of course, Wolverhampton now introducing a good Tapita surface as well. That seems to be working as well. I think the all-weather scene is flourishing as well. And then all you need is that one up the north, which it's still obviously up in the air.
A bit up in the air, yeah, but we'll find out more about that. And yeah, good stuff, all good stuff. Let's move on anyway. Let's move on to Wednesday's action, and we'll get Andy's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to Wednesday then. A few good races to come, including a couple of listed races, one of them at Yarmouth on the second day of the Eastern Festival, and the 325 is that listed race. It's the John Musker Filly Stakes for the John Musker Trophy. Who'd have thought it? It's a listed race for three-year-olds over a mile and a quarter, and 13 of them in the lineup here, Andy. It's quite a competitive race, so who'd you like in the lineup?
The first thing we should say about this race, Mark, is traditionally we usually get a shock. We got one last year when U2 won it at 20-1. I think Clive Britton took this race the year before with a 100-1 poke.
125-1.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I was 25 points out. Yeah, semi-al. So the last 2 years, it's gone to horses who've not necessarily had listed form. They've almost come from like handicaps to win this race.
Yeah.
Fillies at this time of year as well, you know, a tricky breed anyway to work out. So a lot of them either go over the top or a lot of them just don't run up to form for one reason or another. Very much a specialist track as well. We haven't got many horses who've run at the track as well, so we haven't got much course form to go with. So I think this one's a nasty one for punters. What we can say is that there's been several trainers that have dominated the filly category this year. Luca Kamani, of course, and none more so than John Gosden, of course, with the Oaks winner. He's got Waterhole in this.
Yeah.
I always think of all the horses they could run in their yards, the fact that they've picked these out as ideal candidates, it says a lot for their chances. Waterhole ran quite well last time out at Sandown behind Fintry, Andre Farb's horse, in a race probably of equal or maybe slightly better than this. Got the time of that race really good. I know Andre Farb thinks quite a bit of Fintry. I think that's favourite for the Sun Chariot, isn't it, later on in the season,
yeah,
at Newmarket. I think it's at the Cambridgeshire meeting. So certainly one of the ones you'd put onto the shortlist. And the other one would be Pleasant Valley. Again, Luca Comani's done really well with his fillies this season. He had a wildly impressive winner at Doncaster last week of that mile 16 contest. The name escapes me. But she's gone progressively through the ranks. And again, of all the horses he could have run, he's gone for a horse rated only 87, having won just two small races. So of the embarrassment of riches he could have introduced into this race, he's thinking, well, an 87 rated horse wouldn't be good enough, but if Luca thinks they're on the upgrade and they're worthy of taking their chance, then that's got to be significant. So early stages, quickly looking at the race, those would be the two from yards that have done well in this category this year that would stand out.
Yeah, he's also got Cleo in the lineup, hasn't he, Luca?
He has, yeah. I mean, she was a bit disappointing the last day, having won well at York the time before.
Yeah.
But jockey bookings, Andre at Zeno and Pleasant Valley suggest that that's the number one.
Yeah. Okay, which do you side with in the end?
Well, I'd probably go with Waterhole. I think she's probably just about got the best form. I don't see her defeat last time at Sandown as a backward step, even though her unbeaten record was crushed.
Yeah.
You know, she's gone from winning a handicap the time before at Newmarket to, you know, finishing third in a listed race, proving that she's equal to the task.
Yeah, Group 3, in fact.
Let's have a Group 3, beg your pardon. Yeah, I'm doing that race an injustice.
Yeah, so technically a dropping class, really.
Well, yeah, it is, really, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, I'll go with her.
Okay, Waterhole then in the John Musker Filly Stakes at Yarmouth. Staying in listed company for the 340 at Sandown, and this is the Fortune Stakes. This is a listed race over a mile for three-year-olds and older. Eight of them in the lineup for this one, Andy. And, well, if we start here with Producer, who's struggled, really, in better company, I suppose. So is this dropping grade going to lead to him bouncing back, maybe?
Certainly give him a good opportunity, won't it, to do so. That run behind Bow Creek last time out, I think it was the Celebration Mile, was it at Goodwood?
It was, yeah, it was.
Yeah, Celebration Mile. That form's been advertised, isn't it, with the winner. I think it was a really good race, that Celebration Mile this year. Captain Cat was in it as well. He was 30, won next time out in Haydock.
Yep.
You know, all the way down that the line in that race, there was a good bunch of horses in there. I fancied a horse called Horse to Combat and that, and he never got into it either. No. So, albeit Bow Creek got the run of the race and nicked it from the front, any horse that finished in around him has obviously got to be, you know, interesting next time out. And the one negative I got about Producer is most of his best form seems to come on easy tracks. I think he's got a really good record at Epsom, hasn't he? And he's he's definitely better when he's going either downhill on flat tracks rather than going uphill. I don't think he's ever run at Sandown, off the top of my head.
No, I don't think he has.
I don't think he has. So that would be the only slight concern. Obviously, Sandown going to be a stiff mile, and whether he's up to that, I don't know. But there's one horse that does love it here. He wouldn't have the class of producer in any normal racetrack, but Sandown always brings the best out in Spars Dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of legwork on his stats here. We start off by his first run in his life. He finished fourth in a maiden there, yep, way back in the day. And his run since has been 1, 2, 3, 1, 3, 1, 2, 4. And his fourth came last time out in a viciously competitive handicap beyond Treasure the Ridge,
yep,
in one of the fastest run times I've got this season, handicap-wise. The third horse, Crombrelay, who's probably a Group 3 horse, won at Doncaster last time out. And Forgotten Hero was also well beaten that day. I thought he ran really well at Donny last week,
mm-hmm,
behind Mount Logan, was it? The Kamani horse. So both those two horses out of that race who were unplaced or ran well in the race, similarly to Spars Dancer, have proven the form very much to be top class. And you know, he's other than the ground being just on the easy side, good ground, should be fine at Sandown. I'd expect him to be in the first three again. He's just got such a brilliant record here at the track. Hard to see him not being involved.
Yeah, loves it. Loves it at the plate.
He loves it.
Okay, so Spars Dancer then, the selection in the 3:40 at Sandown. And finally, we're going to finish in the 4:15 at Sandown. This is a Fillies handicap, a Class 4 Fillies handicap over the extended mile for three-year-olds. Eight of them take the place in the lineup for this. And we've got a couple of them coming into this. Well, a few of them coming into this in winning form. And it's a good race.
Very good race, yeah. I had to choose wisely with my third selection. Obviously, we were going to cover the main races, the two listed races, deservedly so. And I was just looking for one other progressive type to throw into the mix. I could have chosen Speedhawk at Yarmouth, a horse who was third in a good time last time out at Wolverhampton. He goes back to Yarmouth, the track where he's done well. I could have gone for Bathsheba in the 4:20 at Beverley, a really impressive or progressive horse trained by Nigel Tink. And I've decided to go with Ramshackle, so Michael Stout's improving three-year-old. Just had the three runs. You'd have to say he was a bit disappointing when he went to Foss. Sorry, she was when she went to Foss last. Two starts ago, she was sent off favourite, but could only manage third behind Zora Seas, who she reopposes. But her run last time out at Wolverhampton was of a very high standard. They went a real good gallop that day in a maiden, and this horse travelled supremely easily on that tapita surface, and won in the style of a horse that he's very much capable of better and could be much better than her handicap rating at the moment. I was hoping that Sir Michael might keep her on the all-weather surface because he clearly likes a synthetic track.
Yeah.
Whether she can produce that back at on obviously on the grass is open to debate, but I'm prepared to give her another go because the time was so good that I just think she's just flourished. She's just something, the penny has dropped and she's finally clicked. She has obviously got Zora Seas to beat and possibly Special Miss, who's got a good track record here. I think she's run a couple of times at Sandown, certainly won anyway. She's a course and distance winner. Yeah, she has. She won a run her last three races at Sandown, so that will obviously count for a lot from the Ali Brewer stable. But I do like this Danzilli filly, Ramshackle, and if her time's anything to go by at Wolverhampton, if she reproduces that,
yep,
she will go very close to winning that.
Okay, if there is any question mark around her, is it the trip perhaps that she's done well over 7 furlongs but got beaten, didn't really find too much in the final furlong?
Possibly, process. Although I just think there's limited evidence of it. It's not, yeah, as if she's had a string of races over a mile and we know that she definitively doesn't stay.
No.
I just think those first two races were first time that she needed the run like a lot of St Michael's did. Second time out, a lot was expected of her. But she'd, you know, she'd gone there off the back of a long break. I think she ran early on in the year, didn't she? If my memory serves me correct. Yeah, she ran in April.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was a long layoff. You know, she'd been off the track for 4 months, and she probably needed that run as well.
Mm.
But then, like I say, that quick run back, quickest run back, 2 weeks to Wolverhampton, that edge had just been put on her,
mm-hmm,
and she was brilliant at Wolverhampton.
Okay.
So, you know, she's turned out very quickly again. It's unlike Sir Michael to, you know, go like 2 weeks in, 2 weeks spells, 2 weeks to Foss last to Wolverhampton, 2 weeks again from Wolverhampton to Sandown,
yeah,
and he, you know, 13 days. He likes to give, like, you know, the pause that refreshes, but he's, you know, he's cracking on with it. He obviously knows that she's in good form and she's flourishing, so we'll give her another chance over a mile.
Okay. Fair enough. Ramshackle then in the 4:15. Let's just have a quick summary then, Andy, before you go, if you'll spin us through your thoughts one more time.
Yep. Yarmouth, their big race of the day is the John Muscat Filly Stakes. I'll go with John Gosden's Waterhole from a yard that has done really well in this category this year. In the other listed race on the day, Spars Dancer with a fantastic track record should go well for it, all each-way punters with the dead eight.
Yep.
And similar to that, Ramshackle in the 4:15 with the dead eight. Hopefully we might get an each-way price about her.
Okay, nice one. Good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
I will do. Thanks, buddy.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Holding on Wednesday's racing. Some good action to come from Yarmouth and Sandown. We've also got Beverley on Wednesday afternoon as well. And we finish with a bit of jumping from Kelso, so plenty to look forward to. We'll be live from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, Mick Norton and Mark Slater in the studio. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.